Tabletopped will start after the following messages.
How do you fix a quandary? There's only one solution. Portal Quandary is a Dungeons & Dragons real play comedy, dramedy podcast about a party of mismatched heroes trying to do just that. Join Dungeon Master Tyrone Cross as he hurls our Melbourne-based party into a mystical world full of strange creatures, stranger people, and strangest of all, unanticipated self-discovery. Gross. Listen to Portal Quandary now on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from. Episodes released tri-weekly.
Welcome back to Tabletop, everyone. My name is Nick, your host, and today I have an amazing returning guest for all of you. Dustin Patrick Winter is the Scripted Games co-founder and the creator of the upcoming game Against the Gloom, a fantasy TTRPG about punky pirate troubadours fighting back against the sentient gloom one gig at a time. And if that doesn't get you excited, I really don't know what will. We're here to talk about music, TTRPG making, and being punks. So, Dustin, how are you? Welcome back to Tabletop.
Oh, thank you very much. It's really great to be here. I'm doing really well. Saturday morning.
Yeah, it's a little bit of an early morning recording.
Yeah, but I love it.
Yeah. What's so last time you were on, we were talking with the whole Scripted crew essentially about game making in general and the upcoming releases. And we sort of got like a sneak glimpse into what was upcoming. And this is one of the games that was in development then. Can you talk a little bit about Against the Gloom and like what maybe it ended up being? Because I know it was very much like still in that ethereal sort of idea space. What is Against the Gloom now?
So Against the Gloom is a game of melodic mayhem. You're going to play as touring musicians sailing across that vast and dangerous void known as the Gloom on a ramshackle pirate ship propelled by the power of your song. And then you're going to use your sonic powers to push back the gloom as it tries to obliterate the pockets of civilization that are fighting back against it. And that's been kind of our core pitch for a while now. And I think that some of the more recent kind of, it has been like a little bit of fine tuning. I think that in trying to describe it to folks, it has been really useful to describe it as our flag meets death metal.
Very, very catchy. I love it.
Or as oops, all bards. And so, you know, it has kind of a fantasy vibe to it. It's got a pirate vibe to it, but it's also, you know, it's music. It's amplified music, it's electrified music, it's rock and roll. And just really kind of the setting was always there. The gloom was always there. I think that's where I started with.
Yeah, on the website, I was reading through and kind of getting a sense for the current thrust of the, at least the marketing side of like what this is. And the gloom is like, feels very developed, I guess. It's very clear to me what the gloom is, even just reading about it. It's like this like sorrowful, like it feeds on negativity and sort of like depression, I guess. And there's like the hint of sort of this eldritch being that's creating it or is inside of it or that it is kind of as a whole. So like where did that come from? That is it to me, it really pulls out such a like allegorical thrust for the whole game where you are using music to like beat back this like feeling in the weight of the world essentially. And it just like immediately clicked for me because, you know, I think everybody has those moments where you're just like, I'm feeling really down. I got to throw on some, you know, of my favorite songs or whatever, throw the cans on and like lay in bed and listen to it. But like, where did this come from a development standpoint? Like, where did you kind of create this from?
Oh, I mean, that is a $1 million question. I can pinpoint a couple of different entry points for me. it's a deeply personal game. It's something that I've been working on for a while. So without getting too deep into it, I had like kind of a scary time right before the like lockdown, right before pandemic kind of did its thing, and everything shut down. I spent a week in the hospital because of a scare of like a brain thing, and kind of came away from that, you know, really wanting to take some creative projects and like some creative ideas that I've been meaning to play around with and like really actually get to those. And then we were all sort of like, you know, so here I was dealing with all of this dark stuff, right? About, you know, if my life was going to drastically change in the near future. And then everything shut down. And so we were all sort of trapped, right? Like we're all isolated, we're all trapped. It feels really sort of like nebulous what the future is going to hold. And like, you can't see very far in front of you. Like you just don't know how the world's going to change. And so the gloom really came out of that. The gloom came out of, you know, just kind of all of the struggles that, that happened with that. And so, you know, I would not describe this as like a pandemic game, but I think that those emotions that we were all like, I think we all really felt during that time are like definitely present in like fighting back against this, you know, isolating carceral setting. That's where that came from.
Yeah. I think that that speaks to me on a lot of different levels, because like, again, going back to sort of the pitch of the whole project, it is sort of this group of people that are using like the act of creation, music, working together, harmony, sort of like this, this feeling of camaraderie to blow back this feeling, which I think that totally makes sense from where you said like the kind of base feeling originated from. So that's really fascinating. I'm thinking from a development standpoint, like Scripted as a company always starts with sort of like the theme and the storytelling aspect of it. How did you go from sort of this idea that is like a very distinct, clear feeling that I think, like you said, we all kind of can relate to in certain ways? How did you get that and then start developing it into something you could play? You know what I mean?
Well, it started with a lore book. It actually started with taking and really focusing on the gloom as sort of like a setting. And I work with Nat a lot on that. And then it really the gamification of the whole thing, right? Like, cause I could have done anything with that lore book. I could have, you know, written fiction in it. I'm also a fiction writer. But I had been playing some video games and really missing, those tabletop games that I had really loved and been frustrated by the limitations, right? Mm-hmm. So I'd like find, like one of the games that I absolutely adored was Supergiant's Pyre. And I played that and was really frustrated. I was like, I want more of this. Like I want a sequel. I want more modes of playing, right? And I, that idea of like found family, that idea of building a team or a band, and kind of shaping the world around you a little bit, I really wanted to do that. And so I immediately got to thinking, well, how do I do that? Like, how do I make a game? And I mean, I've been playing and creating tabletop games for a very long time. So I was like, I tried a couple of different, you know, media types. And then I was like, well, this is just a role-playing game. This is what this is.
Yeah. That, I think that for me, something that I found very, like a distinct feeling too coming out of that time we were talking about is like there is the thing that you get very clearly out of role-playing games, specifically tabletop role-playing games, is sort of like that collaborative creation feeling that is really hard to get in something like fiction or video games, because it is a static piece of art that you are engaging with by putting yourself into, but it is not changing. You know what I mean? It is what it is. And so when you have a TTRPG, it is constantly changing. You're making it together as you go. And one of the main sort of mechanics of this game that like I'm super excited about is like the building and sharing of playlists to use within the game. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that part of it as well? Because that feels like one of the ways that you're really sort of being vulnerable to a group, especially if it's not a group of direct friends that you're playing with. But if you are, you know, you're sharing something. I remember, you know, that feeling, and this is dating myself, but like going back to like high school or middle school to like make a mixtape and give it to someone, that feeling of like, oh shit, this is like me that I'm showing this person. And having that in a tabletop role-playing game is like super exciting to me, because I feel like it really does bring that sort of collaboration and vulnerability. And you're definitely going to put your mark on the story in the game kind of by design, because you're sharing part of the music that's going to be based off of. So tell me a little bit about how music like itself became a mechanic in the game.
Right. You know, it's like one of the things that you started off saying that I really want to touch on is that I've been thinking about lately is this power of tabletop games to just in the, what the media is like, what the medium is. Like you said, all of those other, like, you know, shows, video games, books, they're all sort of bounded. They're all finite, right? Yeah. And tabletop games is this wonderful thing where we can continue stories. We can keep the stories going as long as we want. And I find that it's a really excellent thing for if there is like a, if there's a property or if there is a kind of story that you're seeing in the world that you're really loving, like Our Flag Means Death, it gets canceled, you know, Firefly, all of these things that kind of ended a little too soon.
It has that, like, lack of agency, you know?
Yeah. And then tabletop games can fill that void, right? Like you can literally take that stuff and say, okay, well, we're just going to continue this story the way that we would want to see it.
Yeah.
I think that is really powerful. I'll try and wrap that into the playlist thing.
I'll keep asking until we get to it as well.
but the playlist building, you know, obviously came about. I was playing around with this game and trying to think about like, well, how would people fight back against these things, right? Because if the gloom was the manifestation of all the things that I was going through and feeling at the time, and I think a lot of us were as well, how do you fight back against that? And I was trying a couple of different concepts, and they weren't really, no pun intended, they weren't really hitting the right notes, right? And I think that it was kind of a lark. I think that I tried it, and I just... was talking with the scripteds, and I said, what about band? What do we think about like music and like a band? Like, what do we think about that? And it just stuck. It just seemed right. I think it's not where I thought I was going to go with it, but it seems totally, totally clear to me now, because I love music. I've always loved music. I used to play music and recently got back into playing music. Mm-hmm. And so the, while we were like kind of, you know, pulling at that and saying like, okay, go deeper into that. Okay. And what now? It was, you know, in some of the early mechanics of the game, we got feedback that said, if this is about music, you need much more music, like not even just on like kind of a conceptual level, but like actual music in the game. And I thought, of course. Yeah. And so we really did. We brought the playlists directly into the game and tied them kind of at the center of it.
So when you think about music in games, like we've had people on the podcast before talking about how music can evoke emotion and how GMs can use it to sort of start moving a story, even subconsciously within their players. But this game, like you were talking about, you guys brought it into the mechanic side of things as well. So like, how does the playlist building and the use of music sort of affect the experience? Like, how do players get to use their favorite tunes to sort of like interact with the game world?
So as part of the game, you know, when you're sitting down, you're having a session zero, you know, because I had kind of imagined that this was going to be a longer form game.
Sure.
And when you're creating your characters and you're creating your band, your group, one of the first things you do is create this playlist, right? So the playlist is already there. It is ready to accept songs. You kind of figure out what your vibes are in your band, what kind of band you're going to be. And then those first few songs that get added to the playlist start to define what your band is like, and also the kind of music, I guess, you're playing, like, because it's also your set list, right?
Yeah.
And the core mechanic of it is that, you know, you're trying to preserve harmony. You're trying mm-hmm. to stay together as this sort of found family. And you need to be getting along to be able to do that. And you need to work at that. And so there are things that happen during the game that kind of strike at the heart of that. And they will take songs off of the playlist. Like, they will remove mm-hmm. songs from the playlist, as opposed to like getting hit for, you know, 10 HP, sure. which feels sort of like, oh, I'll just get that back. Like, I'm not going to miss that HP. That's not going to leave a mark. If you remove a song from a playlist you really like, that kind yeah. of like stings, right? Like, that kind of like leaves a mark. You remember that. Yeah. But then you get this chance to heal as well, because you get to add songs back to that playlist and you get to use those songs on the playlist to help you in the game.
Yeah. So that's such an interesting thing too. Because like in the past, when talking to the scripteds, you guys always do a lot of safety tool work and making sure that your games are super accessible and also safe for people mm-hmm. to play. I'd love to talk a little bit about that, but also it's like so interesting. Like, I can't wait to get my hands on the game, because like there's also the usually games have a lot of dissonance between players and characters. When, like you said, 10 HP happens, the player can be like, that's only like 5% of my total hit points, I'm okay. In game, the character's probably like, ow, that like really hurt, kind of thing. And so with this, it feels like you've sort of bridged that gap a little bit, because when something comes off the playlist, specifically a player who put that song on the playlist, to have that removed is sort of like, it can feel not like a personal slight, I guess, but it's definitely like, oh my God, like that song, I love that song. How mm-hmm. like that song is gone now. That sucks. Like, that's was my contribution to this playlist. So can you talk a little bit about how you were kind of bridging the gap there as well? Because I find it really fascinating, because most mechanics come from a place of like distance between players and characters. But in this case, it kind of feels like you found like a little bit of an elegant way to tie them pretty close together, so that when a character has something go wrong, the player also feels it in a pretty acute way, because music is so tied into like our personal selves, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. Like, music is a really personal thing. You mentioned safety. Like, one of our safety mechanics, you know, we draw on lines and veils, which is a pretty common one in terms of safety tools. And the thing that we did there was, you know, say like, oh, hey, well, if there's a song that you really don't want to be a part of this game, you don't like this mm-hmm. song, reminds you of bad stuff, brings up bad vibes, let's flag that now if we know what they are now. And like, obviously, like through play, you can add more of those. But I found that players people know what music they like and what music they don't like. Right. Yeah. Like, and you, it's very close at hand to us. Like, music is a part of our lives day in and day out. I would challenge folks to say like, oh, can you go a day without like, can you remember a day where you just didn't hear any music at all? You know, you know, like, to think about that is like, actually like, kind of sucks, right? Like, I wouldn't want to go like even a single day without any music. It's great. It's beautiful. And in terms of bringing the players into the game, I wanted to put just a, I wanted to give people the ability to build something out of nothing, really. And that's what we do when we sit down to create a game together. Mm-hmm. Some of my favorite games that I played in have been highly collaborative. And even if those games themselves on paper were not set up to invite that collaboration, we definitely made it happen. We were asking each other questions. We're bouncing off of each other. We were creating the places in the game, you know, as a group. And, you know, even the NPCs as a group. And that's a thing that you can do in Against the Gloom. The game is specifically set up to be informed by the playlist. Mm-hmm. You're going to use the playlist to, you're going to listen to those songs. You're going to get inspired by those songs. And then you're going to create people and places and things around them, inspired by them. And there's a lot of, without putting like too much cognitive load on anybody at any one time, because I think there's pretty good, like, I think there's a pretty good support and guardrails there, but players have a lot of say in what happens in the game.
Yeah. So is it a, going back to this, because before we got on mics, we were talking a little bit about it. It is sort of a genreless game. It kind of is informed by the music that you choose, mm-hmm. and the music there and the sort of genre you're interested in playing. But can you tell me a little bit about the storytelling aspect as well? Because like some TTRPGs are very GM focused. A GM comes with a story and then you tell the story and like people interact with it and collaboration comes from that. Other games are GM-less completely, where you're like Psychic Trash Detectives is a little bit like this, another scripted game. Mm-hmm. And then there's also, you know, solo games and games that are a little bit more, you know, one person having most of the say in, into how this is created and then people kind of bouncing in and out depending on how that game is functioning. This game, kind of coming from the scripted tradition of like storytelling first, makes me wonder like how do you envision or how is this game supposed to be played? Is it sort of GM-less and everyone is coming together, like you said, in that kind of collaborative way? You said that everybody kind of at the table has a big say in how the game is told or the story is told. So like, how does that actually work in the game itself? Is it something where a GM is going to sit down and play the gloom, or is it something where you guys are all sort of kind of deciding on the direction of where these, this band of, you know, space pirates go, you know?
I like to think that it's the best of both of those things. Okay. So there's no one, like GM, there's no one facilitator. The power is sort of spread out. And one of the things that I noticed after playing games like that are GM-less is that unless there are like some really good kind of like structuring and scaffolding there, it puts just a lot of load on the players to figure out, well, what now? And things can kind of go off the rails a little bit and in directions that like player, it's a little more wild, right?
Yeah, it can be paralyzing, definitely.
But I'm also the person that, I am default GM, right? So I love playing in games. One of the things that I started doing in a Kids on Bikes campaign that I started running over the pandemic was to really kind of like turn that on its head and to, well, what do you think happens? Or Bridget, would you like to play like out this conversation between this character and their mother? Would you like to play the mother? Yes. Okay, great. Well, then you take on, you know, that and we'll see where that goes. Yeah. With Against the Gloom, one of the things that I wanted was for folks who typically get thrown into that GM role to be able to, as part of the structure of the game, as part of what's on paper, to be able to say, okay, I'm passing the torch now. Like, I don't have to do this all the time. And then for people who are eager, but maybe a little bit reluctant to be a GM, to say like, oh, okay, it's my turn now. I'm going to give it a shot. And you know what? I only have to do this for a night because the way that it's set up is that facilitation passes from person to person each session. And so you're going to a different place each session. That place can look wildly different from the last place. You know, you can go to kind of a sci-fi world if you were just in kind of a fantasy world. You can play around that way, and you can use the game as a vehicle to explore a lot of different ideas. You can invite a lot of people's creativity to the table. So if, you know, if I'm facilitating, you know, the play on One Ankora, one of our floating cities in the gloom, and then, okay, that's a wrap, guys. And then I'm going to pass that to Bridget, or I'm going to pass that to Anne Marie, or I'm going to, you know, pass that to Nat. And then they get to bring a little bit of their own creativity and their own guidance to that next session.
In a way, kind of like how a band, you know, people can put forward songs that they want written, and then everyone kind of collaborates on them. So it does kind of feel like, in a way, you know, circling back on that sort of core theme, that it functions that way as well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, I always wonder what songs, you know, George Harrison and Ringo Starr, if they had a little bit more space in that band, what songs we would have gotten out of them in that time, right? But they were sort of like, you know, they were overshadowed. And so that, it's a nice analogy to say, like, you know, we're inviting everyone to contribute songs, we're inviting and ideas and characters and places.
All right, everyone, we're talking to Dustin Patrick Winter about the new upcoming scripted release, Against the Gloom, and we will be back right after these messages.
Hey, everyone, it's me, Nick, from the Tabletop Podcast. When I'm not hosting, I'm thinking about ways to create a better podcast for you guys, and I think I landed on something pretty fun. In fact, if you go to our Patreon at patreon.com/tabletopped and join for as little as $1 a month, you can get access to a new episode a month that we're going to start putting out. In fact, we're going to be calling this one Wild Magic, I think, in that we're going to talk about anything and everything that interests us, not just TTRPGs, though there will be a lot of that. It is truly unhinged, and if you are a fan of the podcast and all of the hosts, you're definitely going to want to be on it. We're thinking of dropping these at the end of each month, so join our Patreon today. That is patreon.com/tabletopped. Oh, and there's going to be so much more coming out in the new year there, so don't miss it. Sign up today.
What if music was magic? Against the Gloom is a fantasy TTRPG about punk pirate troubadours fighting back against a bleak world, one gig at a time. From Scripted Games, the studio that brought you Psychic Trash Detectives, comes a new game by Dustin Patrick Winter. Against the Gloom is about harnessing the power of music, finding chosen family, and building community in the face of the void. Find it now on Kickstarter. Rock on.
Welcome back, everyone, to our episode of Tabletop, talking with Dustin Patrick Winter, Scripted Games co-founder and creator of the upcoming Against the Gloom TTRPG. But wow, we got a special guest coming in. Yay! After the break. We have an amazing person, Pat Weddle, the lead singer of Bard City, it is a folk TTRPG LARP band based out of Baltimore, where he performs under the name Varric. Welcome to Tabletop. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you very much for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. I wanted to ask you a little bit, because folks kind of know Scripted. They kind of know Dustin just because they've been on the podcast before. But Pat, can you tell us a little bit about Bard City and like what it is, what started it, and all of that kind of fun stuff?
So Bard City is a TTRPG, like D&D folk band. And the way it all started was actually at a LARP. All the guys in the band and I used to LARP together for like over 10 years at this point. And during the shutdown, during the pandemic, I realized all I wanted to do was to dress silly and drink beer and either listen to someone play trad music or play it myself. So once like everything got better, I like messaged my old friends. I was like, hey, listen, we got to get out to one of these things. Like there's a 5-day event in Virginia. It's at a winery. Let's do this. It was a new game. We hadn't played. It was Darkon. We hadn't played Darkon before. So we didn't know anybody there. We were just going to show up and But we had no intention of fighting. I was just like, I'm going to sit on the sideline, and I'm going to drink wine, and I'm going to play music, and that's going to be what we do.
This is so Bart.
We'd worked on a couple covers together. So when like Friday night of this camp out comes around, we had decided that our tent, our little pavilion area, was going to be a city of bards. It's going to be Bard City. If you're in that 10 by 10 area, you are in Bard City. And that was just like the hangout that we had. And that's where the name came from. It was just, oh, you know, it's a city here. And somebody paid us in-game gold to play for his casino night. And we show up, we're late, because, you know, rock and roll, baby. and we sit down and we're watching the guy being like, hey, by the way, just so you know, we have a band coming at 7. And I look at my watch and it's 7:30 and I'm like, well, those guys are late. Like, oh, wait, he means us. And that was the first time we were ever referred to as a band. So we had an absolute blast. It was a ton of fun. And when we drove back home on Sunday, I looked at the person who now plays guitar, Onion, and I said, why don't we just like write music? Because this would be a lot of fun. So it's a 2.5-hour drive back to Baltimore, and we're like sitting there being like, oh, wouldn't it be funny if we had like a song about like the chorus changes depending on like a roll of a die. And he's like, oh yeah, what if we had a song about me falling in love with a mimic? And like, oh, with the twist being, what if it's not actually a mimic? What if it's just a chair, you know? And we had a couple things like that that have actually turned into real Bard City songs, including the one that kind of made us put us on the map as far as like D&D TikTok is concerned. Our level 3 party accidentally broke into the Lair of a Beholder. That kind of blew up more than we were expecting. And it took exactly 30 seconds to write because it was just like, what if we just scream and that'd be funny? Ha ha. And that's kind of propelled us to where we are now. And it's helped us get gigs.
Yeah, totally. Like, so for me, when I think about, you know, D&D sort of music and things like that, it's always like instrumental. But in game, you have like the bard sort of personality being like very clear and like sort of like there is an archetype that people sort of follow with that. And it sounds like you've kind of taken the most exciting parts of both of those and kind of smashed them together into something that, you know, really works for people, that people really resonate with. What sort of is your thought like in your history with TTRPGs? Do you play or have you played quite a bit? You said you were into LARP and all that kind of thing, which has its roots in TTRPGs as well. So where does the sort of like deep fondness for the specific genre that's, you know, even in the best of times, fairly niche for all of us?
Yeah, I mean, like I've been into like high fantasy stuff since I was like 7. I had 2 aunts who did SCA back in California in the 70s. So they were deep in this, you know, and
deep nerd.
Yeah, I know. It's deep in the family roots. My mom, when she was deep, would make her own Starfleet uniforms to go to conventions and stuff like that. Like,
yeah,
so cool.
She drove like an extra hour to the theater in San Francisco that had surround sound for A New Hope. So, like, kind of old school nerd here, and. My aunt was the one who dragged me and my brother to the Lord of the Rings movies. And after that, I was a lost cause, you know. You put like a 9-year-old boy in watching Legolas like fire and arrows, and it's done. You're done. So I'm actually one of a lot of my circle here. We started LARPing before we played D&D, and usually it's the other way around. You kind of have to like ease your way into it. We just kind of went straight into the deep end. But I've been playing D&D since I was like 18, and I was LARPing since I was 16. Me and Onion were in a Pink Floyd cover band together when we were both 16.
Amazing.
And I played bass because I thought that would look cool to girls, and then I found out, no, bass, bro. and you're 16, you're doing anything to look cool to girls, right? But I quit. And he was like, why are you quitting? Because you wouldn't just like, this is fun. You wouldn't quit for like no reason. I'm like, well, I'm doing this thing where I'm going around and hitting people with foam sticks. And he's like, that sounds awesome. Can I come? And then ever since then, we've been going to that.
So it's like, it's sort of the opposite of what people tend to think of when it comes to like musicians and bands and stuff. It's like, man, they're like, it's all about like, you know, the coolness, the rock and roll. And you guys were like, no, man, it's all about these like foam sticks. This is what's really like, you know, deeply touching me. I love that. One thing I want to talk about, because Dustin and I were talking before the break a little bit about how like music as a real world metaphor for a lot of the stuff that we play out in TTRPGs and LARPing and things like that. I wanted to kind of get both of your thoughts on sort of how like creation of music, creation of this sort of like, you know, collaborative storytelling, which is band style music, how that sort of happens in the real world, especially when it's like sort of storytelling focused like Bard City stuff is, and Dustin, when you're creating something within this game and how you were creating the mechanics, like how did that mesh together? And I kind of want to get both your perspectives on that kind of collaboration process. So why don't we start with Dustin, talk a little bit about the game, and then we'll kind of get we'll get Pat's view on whether or not whether or not that's true to life at all.
I do want to point out real quick that I have always felt a kinship with Pat here from when we met when we were working together years ago. I too played bass at 16 and had aunts that were huge nerds. My aunt actually met her husband and on a Star Trek cruise. So I'm feeling
was,
some kidding.
Was the ship called Voyager? And if not, that's a huge miss marketing wise.
But yeah, back like to your question, you know, I hadn't really actually considered it like literally before, but scripted games is a little bit like a band.
Sure.
And that's my story now, and I'm sticking to it. In that we travel together. You know, we're working together. We're not usually on stage, but we are on. Like if we're in a booth, we have to be on, and we have to be helping each other, and we have to know when another person can step forward and kind of like take hold of something and giving them space to do that. And I would venture to say that probably a lot of the tensions and a lot of the things that bands contend with. I mean, if you're in a business with someone and you're also creative collaborative partners, it's like just you are pushed together and you are throwing ideas around and trying not to step on each other's toes. And I would probably liken the two, not exactly, but you know, I would say that probably a lot of the same stuff is there.
And like I actually do kind of like a comedy troupe that we tour with, and it's very similar. Whenever we come up with like a new format for one of our shows or whatever, people are writing things, there is always this feeling that I have where I'm like, I really don't like this specific aspect of what we're doing. I'm going to try to say something. But then afterwards, I was like, was that like someone's favorite part that I just sort of, shat all over? But I think that like the whole creative process is always like that push and pull between like everyone has different inputs and like outputs with their brain. So like, how do you come to like a middle ground? Pat, as an actual, you know, band member, musician, like, how does this resonate with you? Does this feel like real? Or are you like, no, it's actually real great. We just like fuck around until like a song comes out and it's always perfect.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, Bard City's a professional music band.
We're always perfect. We never have any arguments. And that is 100% true. Now, the amount of like half finished songs of like that we have in our like collective Google Drive of just like, oh, this would be a fun concept. And you get further down, you're like, actually, this kind of sucks. But actually, what the advantage we have is because we started as a LARP and we have our own country in that LARP, that means like every 2 months we do a weekend camp out where we are, you know, immersed fully in character. So when, and we have an understanding of what our characters are, and our characters are jerks. So we're just like, what if we play the most selfish, stupid people you can possibly imagine? And then what if you built an entire city of those people? Because the in the you're about to get the little bit of a lore drop right here. So Bard City in our game is an actual city in the desert. It's a city of bards. Everyone there is a bard, but if you're going to visit for a week, it's awesome. It's basically fantasy Las Vegas. It rules. Yeah. If you're there for a week and a day, then some of the gilded parts start to peel off a little bit because you start realizing that everyone wants to make it in Bard City. And in a world where you have like rogues and magic and all of that stuff, if you want to make it to the top, you really think you're going to do that via, oh, because you had a good song and got recognized? Hell no.
Yeah.
It's
you gotta cozy up to that beholder who can, you know, death ray whoever whoever the competition is. You know?
Right. You know, it's a little cloak and dagger here and there. But more importantly, you're in a room where every single person except for you wants to be the funniest person there.
Yeah.
Oh my god, hell on earth.
Yeah. So reminds me of some of my comedy troupe's dinners together.
But since we know it's like this disaster spot, and like basically, if your character lives in Bard City, it means that you love that. Obviously, it's awful. There's no water. The only thing you can drink is booze. There's like some food, but it's like bar peanuts or whatever. The big thing is at one point we were sitting around having our city council meeting. Each member of the band is part of the city council, mm-hmm. By the way, another little lore drop there. and someone was like, you know what? I don't like paying taxes. And we were like, you know what? Yeah. Yeah. No more. We're not doing that anymore. Nah. And then people ask us, oh, but you know, the city makes it work, right? No, God, no. We're so far in debt. Everything's a disaster. There's potholes everywhere.
My favorite real life example of this that I just it's tucked into like a nice cozy part of my heart that I just love is there is this town in New Hampshire that was founded by a bunch of libertarians who are like, we're gonna make this like a libertarian like mecca, and so they were like, no social services, no taxes, no nothing, this is libertarian ideals. And then the town was literally destroyed by bears because no one would pick up the trash.
Yeah.
So all the bears were like, "Yeah, there's this ton of free food." It just came and like destroyed the town. I just, God, it just that warms the cockles of my heart.
One of the characters in our game is literally carries a crossbow everywhere he goes, and his job is to hunt bears because we also heard about that. And clearly, our characters, our two brain cells, were like, "Well, they just had too many bears, you know?
We just gotta hunt them." All right,
so he's gonna get rid of the bears and everything will be fine.
So I'm really interested now that we have Pat here to sort of like kind of talk about the perspective from real world music and all that kind of thing as well. Like, can you, Dustin, run us through what a session in this game feels and looks like? So you sit down, you're making playlists, and then the collaboration process kind of starts in the storytelling process. So like, what does a normal session look like if it is genreless and you are starting just sort of by this like shared love of music and this general theme?
So whoever is the facilitator that week is going to have a song that they're going to start with. So they're going to, you know, can be a song that they like. It could be a song that they think would be, you know, really cool for the game and generate some cool ideas. And they're going to bring that song and they're going to play that song at the beginning of the session. And the other players at the table are going to listen to that. They're going to write some details down, and then those details are going to come back up. You have a kind of a roundtable discussion. You're going to create this place. So it's like the facilitator brings the song that starts the whole thing. But then kind of after that, it's sort of out of their hands in a lot of ways. But then once you have this place that you're going to play around in, you've got to get there. Right. And so, you know, you are these pirate troubadours. You're on like this big flying pirate ship. And so, you know, things break down and there are, you know, moments where you have tension of, you know, are you telling, you didn't pack the thing? Like the one thing we needed for this next place, you didn't pack, you know? And so I'm anticipating a lot of moments like that. And then you actually get to this place. And, you know, you're there to play a show. And the only way that you can actually push back the gloom is this thing that sort of seeps into places and comes in at the edges. And it's, you know, it is essentially this like creeping curse, right? And so the only way to push that back from places is to, you know, is to play music. The actual vibrations and wavelengths disrupt this thing, the gloom. Hates music. It's the only thing that it hates. And so you're pushing it back. And depending on how well you do, how well you come together as a band and push this gloom back, kind of determines the fate of what this place is going to be. Mm. And so, you know, yes, you are building a band, you are building characters, you know, there's a lot of role playing at the table. But this is also about kind of having shared stewardship over a world in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And then you've got to pack it all up and then you've got to go to the next place, right? Because that's that tour in life, right? You've got to keep moving.
So Pat, with that sort of idea of like the, what Dustin just kind of laid out, it reminds me a lot about sort of what you're talking about with your sort of LARPing storytelling creation, where you have this city that is sort of like a shared sort of storytelling tool that your band kind of uses. And you also literally go from you know, venue to venue to play these shows and like kind of decide on that. So like in a real world process, like how does that feel sort of to you as sort of a music storyteller, and what sort of things do you suggest players kind of bring into this game from your kind of experience doing this throughout your kind of creative career?
One thing to note is just like the like kind of how like this sort of like nerdy TTRPG scene, and like especially where it combines with music, is that a lot of this is just like one giant collective art project. I mean, like even you go to a convention, like people are gonna like bring different outfits, not like either through cosplay or just like more ridiculous outfits than they would wear at work, you know. And we see that in D&D, we see that in LARP. I love just like talking to people, and then like after like if I'm at a convention, I could just go up to someone and be like, "Tell me about your D&D character," and they're like, "Oh yeah, please let me go on." I love hearing that. And I think that there is a sort of like underappreciated aspect of like, this isn't just like a story you're telling with like five friends. This is like little pockets of stories you're telling with millions of people, you know? And the best, absolute, like most awesome fantasy story ever told is most likely at a table with six people max. And will never be heard anywhere else, you know, it's not going to be on a podcast or anything. And you can see it a little bit more readily in LARP when you have like 250 people all adding to the collective story, just because it's visually there. But there is this sort of this beautiful kind of like underlying thread that connects everyone together. And we actually wrote a song called Bardic Inspiration that is quite literally about all of that. It's all about like, because we've gotten our hands into like different LARPs, different conventions, different nerdy spaces, Ren fairs now, and we kind of had a chance to see like, you know, things are sort of similar, but they're all very different. Everyone's bringing their own unique twist to it, and through this band, we've gotten a lot of exposure to those different groups. And that was enough to inspire a song about being inspired by all these nerds who are like bringing their best selves for maybe a story that only they hear. It's cool. It's fun. And I quite like it.
Yeah, I really love the idea that like the, you know, because all of these systems and games are all sort of derivative from just like traditional folk tale tradition. And how we told stories to each other before. And I love the idea that you were kind of talking about of trying to loop that into a greater, that even if your story at a table is never heard by anybody else, it is kind of in conversation with a entire, you know, sort of history of storytellers and genres and all of that, that you are kind of tying yourself into it in some way, even if they are never aware of it. And mm-hmm. right. Dustin, kind of going back to the game too, it kind of feels like this is very much thematically part of the game of like you going into these cities and you're kind of building the collaborative story that this place is going to tell about itself going into the future. Is it going to succumb to sort of this, you know, darker side of our lives and our futures, or are we going to kind of revel in sort of the creative generation and just the act of creation, I guess, and have that be the thing that pulls us into the future? So it kind of does feel like the game itself is sort of trying to sort of symbolize and sort of be the very fact of like the act of creation that, you know, Bard City has going to all of these places, that the also tying into the tradition of all of the stories kind of came before it as well. I guess my question is, did you mean to be a profound story creator or whatever with this system, or was that ever the goal? Were you just trying to kind of make something that you could play with your friends, or did you kind of have this sort of thing that you were trying to do as a thing in the background as well?
Yes.
yes and yes. Good yes, night. Yes.
Thank you very much. I won't be taking any questions. I mean, music is really powerful, right? Storytelling is powerful. And I feel like music makes you feel things. It can make you feel happy. It can make you feel sad. And you know, like you both said, there is a conversation that's happening, you know, between someone playing music, someone hearing music, someone covering that music. It is this game of telephone, inspirational, emotional telephone, I guess. being in conversation, it's a thing that I just want to see more, is this idea of people acknowledging, exactly like Pat said, that moments can be ephemeral, that that not everything has to be recorded or as part of a live stream or podcast. Not everything, you know, like sometimes the best moments really are just being in that room, like in that moment. Yeah. Like, you know, you've been to that concert where you're like, look, I love this band. They're great on the album, but seeing them live is just a whole other thing.
Yeah.
And just like trying to tap into that a little bit, and trying to embrace this idea of holding onto those moments that are really important, and also that music is this thing that is not, without going too deep into it, like, yeah, we live in this kind of like society and this system that, you know, music is proprietary, but think about how many people have covered songs, how many songs have been passed from person to person. And then you hear a song and you're like, oh, I love that. And then it gives you ideas and you're going to bounce off of that and you're going to write your own music, or you're going to write your own screenplay or your own book. I couldn't tell you how many times I needed to write a scene in a story I was writing and was like, all right, no, it's this song. This is what I'm channeling right now.
Yeah, I have a friend who every time he has a character for a play that he is in, he will create a full playlist for that character to listen to before any show that they do, just so that they can kind of get in the right headspace and be in character when they walk out on stage, which I can never do. I'm actually very bad at building a playlist because my music is so like esoteric and weird that it never really fits together quite right. You know, all the power to the people who can do that a little bit better. And I'm excited to try with this game. Before we sort of start winding down here, though, I really want to talk, Pat, a little bit about Bard City, where people can engage with it, what you kind of hope people can like enter into the Bard City sort of city culture, and where they can find you and all that kind of stuff. And then Dustin, I want to talk a little bit about the actual release of the game. It's coming up. The Kickstarter is starting very soon, so I want to get some of the logistics down so that people can find both of these really awesome projects. So, Pat, why don't we start with you? How can people engage with Bard City? What is your preferred way for people to kind of enter into Bard City's orbit?
Obviously, we got the social media. So we got bardcity.band on Instagram and TikTok if you want to follow that. We got our music on Spotify, and we're working on our next album already, which we're pretty excited about. If you really want to go deep into it, if you're in the DMV area, go LARPing. And I know that it's like when I tell people to go LARPing, I have to also give them like the warning of like, this is pretty much the nerdiest thing you can do. And there is no going back. And I also tell people, like, if you're going to go LARP, go all in, because no one's going to give you credit for LARPing ironically. You're still going to be among those nerds hitting each other with foam sticks in a park, you know? It's like, no one's going to be like, well, that guy seems he's above it, so he's cool, I guess. Nah. But yeah, it's like if you want to try something out like that, there's a bunch in the DMV area that are a lot of fun.
And if you join into those LARPs, I hear that there is a tent, 10x10 tent in some of them that if you enter is a real good time for a week and no longer.
Yeah. Well, we've upgraded to 10x20. Thank you very much.
Oh, Bard City's growing.
Right. Yeah. Eventually it's going to expand all the way across the campsite, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, so that one's fun. But otherwise, like keep an eye out. We've got shows we're going to be playing at Maryland Renfest this year, and a couple other like local conventions, and hopefully, fingers crossed, we'll be at Gen Con again this year, so that'll be awesome. A lot of fun.
Yeah, all of these links too will be in the show notes for people who are interested. If you want to take a look at Bard City stuff, it will be in there, so just scroll down on whatever podcatcher you are using right now to check out Bard City. And Dustin, let's talk a little bit about Against the Gloom and what is coming up for it, because there's a lot of cool stuff and I want to make sure that people are able to engage if they're interested in this like really cool concept for the game coming up. So what do you want to pull people's attention to?
Well, I will add that if you have a chance to see Bard City live, absolutely do it. It is an immersive experience. When I went to see them live, the power went out. I'm not sure if they didn't pay their bills or what was going on in the city at the time, but it turned into an acoustic performance, and Pat and the band are absolutely amazing. So yeah, go see
them live. I kind of want to, I don't mean to interrupt, but I almost died at that show. I didn't realize that.
We can laugh about it now.
I reviewed the footage after the fact because a transformer got struck by lightning down the street. And yeah. the sound guy is saying like, back up, back up, back up. And I'm like, what? And I heard the microphone kick back on. So I'm tapping it like, oh, we might be able to play a show. This is great. And then I back up, and what I didn't notice until after the video was released was there's this huge arc of electricity that goes across the back of the stage right as I move away from the microphone. And I think if I was touching that microphone, I would have gotten fried.
Your karmic debts were coming for you. Got away again. Man, that's wild. Also, you got to release that video.
And credit to Dustin for sticking around the unair-conditioned bar in the middle of summer. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you there.
But a good time.
So if you want to go to a potentially lethal show, to Park City.
So for Against the Gloom, though, Valentine's Day, we're launching on Kickstarter on Valentine's Day. If you want to follow along, you can visit our backer kit, and you can kind of sign up for our mailing list there or on our website, scriptedgames.com. But yeah, we're super excited. We're going to have some really awesome like stretch goals that we're dreaming up right now. hold on. Oh, okay. And we're just really excited. We're really excited. It's coming up so soon, and it's going to be really great.
Yeah, and I'm super excited for this. If people like join, take a look on this Wednesday when this is coming out. It's in 2 days, Valentine's Day. Go check it out. I'm going to be posting some links to the Kickstarter on those days. But this is something that you definitely want to get in on the ground floor of. When Psychic Trash Detectives came out, they had a lot of cool stuff that you got kind of for free after they had met and then exceeded their goals. So if you're looking to get in on the ground floor, get a little bit of cool stuff when they definitely exceed their stretch goal, then this is the time to do it. So keep an eye out for that. And also I will be posting, so take a look at the tabletop social medias. Also, if you're interested, go to scriptedgames.com. They have a shop, they have an itch page, they have some news and all that kind of stuff if you're interested. They even have a contact form if you just want to get in touch with the Scripteds. Pat, Dustin, this has been awesome. I'm so glad I got to talk to you guys. We'll definitely have both of you back on in some point to talk about music again, just because it's too fun not to. But thank you so much, and we'll see you very soon. If you're interested in supporting Tabletopped, you can go to our Patreon, which is patreon.com/tabletopped. We drop episodes every Monday. And guess what? This month is Tabletop's second birthday. So if you want, we're going to have some extra stuff coming out both on the Patreon and in the normal feed. So subscribe today. Thanks, everyone. And we will see you next week for another episode of Tabletop.
Thanks.